While You Were Seething by Charlotte Stein, read by Imogen Wilde. To my mum, my Mim, all of this is because of your love. Chapter 1. Daisy Emmett knew she should never have agreed to help her mortal enemy the moment she saw the keep out sign. Or, more accurately, the 12 keep out signs, in varying shades of unhinged. There was an official-looking one, advertising extreme legal action for all trespassers. Then a gigantic round one, attached to the barbed wire-laced gate of his middle-of-nowhere main home, with various health and safety-style stick figures being brutalised by booby traps all over it. And if that wasn't enough to put you off, there were also the 7 massive dogs the other signs advertised. She felt pretty sure one of them was just a picture of a werewolf. Its fork-sized fangs glared down at her from a glossy billboard-looking thing atop the fence next to the gate. And this fence was big. It stood twice as tall as her, even though she was 5'5" in her very professional heels, and it seemed to wrap around the entirety of the property that lay beyond. All of which was, in one way, understandable. Caleb Miller was a very famous man, and not just because his books were familiar with the number one spot on every bestseller list in existence, or because there was now a near-cottage industry of glossy TV adaptations of most of his work, 2 of which had starred Nicole Kidman, or because many airport bookstores survived on his name alone. No, there was also his mythos. The legends that had built up around him. That he hated talking to people so much everyone in the small town he lived in had barred him from their establishments. That he never smiled. That he did smile, but his smile was blood-curdling. That if you smiled at him, he would have you fired. And, of course, the big one. That the only thing he cared about was the mysterious beloved he had lost long ago. Oh yeah, people loved that one. She could definitely see some trying to scale his fence over it. So it made sense. It really did. And yet, at the same time, all this just seemed like typical Miller bullshit to her. She could still see him now in her mind's eye, sitting across the table from her in Professor Dunderson's workshop, perpetually sat back in his chair, enormous arms folded across his thick chest, expression set to withering. An opinion like, "Happy endings are for fools," always on his lips. In fact, those were the very words that had landed him in this much hot water, spoken on The View, directly to Whoopi Goldberg's face, before he'd stormed off to the horror and shock of literally everybody on the planet. Though if she was being honest, she had no idea how he'd even managed to write romance novels that so many people actually believed in and loved in the first place. Or how he had made his fan club think he had secret passionate depths and some love story for the ages in his past. All those dedications at the start of his books, "My soul is lost without yours. My heart wants to march to where you are sleeping. There is no light without the one that you provide," were just bunk, as far as she was concerned. Lemony Snicket-style nonsense. Something to get people salivating and speculating. He was savvy enough for it, after all. He tricked her into thinking he had a soul at one point. Right the way back before their enemyship had begun, when she first heard him speaking in some lecture and thought, "I want to know that guy. The one who understands the remains of the day. The one who understands every single thing that lies beneath the surface of that fool's words. The one who said it all to back up a girl who'd just been interrupted by some dipshit." Then she had watched as he slowly ground all her glowing first impressions down to dust.